James chapter 3. We are there today. Verses 1 through 12 reads as follows. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile, a reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Father, as we come to this portion of Scripture, open our hearts to hear your voice. Enlighten us as only you can. Show us your word and show us your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing in the series in James, Faith That Works, the title this morning is Words Can Hurt. This may be old, and I'm not sure if they still use this phrase, but I remember growing up as a kid, one of the phrases that we use on the playground, you know, when people were talking about you and just kind of being mean and what have you, were sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Somebody's messing with it, you can say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There's a problem with that. And the problem is, it's a lie. Words hurt. They hurt badly. I got physical scars on my body that I have absolutely no recollection of when I did it. I have mental scars of things people have said, of issues where I've been hurt, that can tell you exactly when, where I was, how I felt, and everything else about it. The reality of the matter is, words do hurt. And in some respects, they hurt worse than physical wounds because they go into our spirit, they go into our psyche. Physical hurt, physical heal. You might be in bad shape, but the physical, it's going to hurt to heal, and you're going to die, it's going to heal up one. Those mental scars, you'll never forget. And here James warns us of the power of the tongue. Words can hurt. And I told you before, every time I study a passage of Scripture to preach to you, you can be sure that no matter what the Spirit does to you, if you feel like he's the Spirit slapping you upside there, you can be sure I've been slapped up and down the head before you ever hear me speak. Particularly when you come to a passage like this, because if you look at the context of this passage, the focus is teachers. Not many of you should become teachers, my brother, for you know that we who teach will be judged with the stricture, greater strictness. Now, that's difficult because you're talking about the power of the tongue, and you're saying to the teacher, be careful, because you're going to be judged with stricter teaching. But the problem is with that is, you can't teach without talking. And the reality is, the more you talk, the more likely you are to say something stupid. That's just the way it is. So there is a humbling aspect to passages like this, because what it points out to us is the importance of our whole lives, including our tongues, being submitted to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. This passage highlights teachers, but it is applicable to all of us, all Christians, because all of us influence someone. All of us, in some sense, are teachers to someone. So it is a humbling passage, and it is a warning that we need to be careful and recognize the power that is in our tongue. As we look at this passage, what can we learn? The first thing that I want to highlight is the lesson that with position comes responsibility. With position comes responsibility. Everything, I remember as a kid, and you can't wait to be grown. When I get grown, I can do what I want to do. And then you get grown and the bills start coming. It's like, I can't do what I want to do because I'd like to go buy this, but if I don't pay this, pay the house loan, I'm going to be on the street. So I can't do what I want to do. With position comes responsibility. And that's something that we need to learn, because that is true for teachers, that is true for parents. And unfortunately, in our culture, we have many people who have positions of responsibility who refuse to act like they're responsible. As a passage in Luke 12:48, the student says, part of the verse says, to whom much is given, much is required. When God opens the door and allows us opportunity, there's a great responsibility. What position of responsibility? Verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Why? For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Those who have influence are responsible to God for their words or for what they do, for their words and for their example. Whether that person responsible is a teacher, is a parent, a leader at work, leader in the church, looked up to by people on the block for your wisdom, those who have influence have a responsibility to God. Those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. When we are in a position of influence, we ought to take it seriously, because God takes it seriously. With that also, there is just kind of a loosening of the belt, because we also have to understand that the reality is mistakes will be made. It goes on to verse 2, says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. We all stumble. James says, if you're going to be in a position of responsibility, if you're going to be a teacher, we have to understand that there's great responsibility that comes with that, but we also have to understand that we all will make mistakes. We all gonna stumble. That's the reality of life. 1 John 1:8-9 gives us a remedy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mistakes will be made. We have to understand, it's not so much a call to human perfection, because we cannot be too paralyzed at. We have to realize that we have a responsibility for our words, we have a responsibility for our actions, we have a responsibility, but it is not a call to be so paralyzed with that responsibility that you just sit and do nothing. You think it's still, if I got him, say, well, I came to give you a message and I sit up here for 30 minutes and didn't say nothing. Because if I say something, I might say something wrong. There's responsibility, but we have to exercise our responsibility with the understanding and with the idea that the reality is we all will stumble, we all will make mistakes. So it is not the idea that we cannot make a mistake, but what do we do with those mistakes? When we do error, do we correct it? When we do error, when we confess it, when we repent, when we make it right. Because we have to understand that even when we make mistakes, sometimes our teaching can be even more powerful as a teacher. When I say something stupid, and when someone asks me about it, and I don't try to alibi, but you know, that's right, that really wasn't right. Let me tell you what is right. Because to come to understand that the teacher can make mistakes, and the teacher can be correct too. In fact, I wish it happened more often, because too often as a teacher, people don't say anything to you. Because they're afraid that I might not be right. When the reality is, as a teacher, you're going to help me a whole lot if you talk to me. Because even if you ask me a question and you didn't quite get it, that shows me what I need to say, what I need to do. Because the idea of teaching is not simply this hollow idea, this body of information. It is a body of information, but the whole idea is communicating that body of information in a way that is understandable. Bottom line of this, in the whole idea of realizing that we're positioned on responsibility, is it reminds me of my first book that I was going to write, and it still hasn't gotten written. But I've had a title for this book for 30 years, actually probably closer to 40 years. And the title of the book is Strive for Perfection, with striving underlined. Point is this, it is a striving for perfection that we're after. It is the idea of this, I want to be perfect. I understand that I'm not going to be perfect, but that's the goal, and that's what I'm headed for. Well, the focus is striving. Am I progressing? Am I getting better at this? Am I striving? Because you see, if I get so focused on the perfection, all I do is beat myself up, because as soon as I get to feeling pretty good about the perfection aspect, if I do something stupid or I say something stupid, and God humbles me. But I have to give it to the whole focus. Lord, I'm trying. Lord, I'm focusing and I'm working to get better and better at what it is you call me to do. I'm never going to take it lightly, and I don't care if I'm talking to 3 people or 3,000 people. I'm going to take it seriously. Because ultimately, it's to God, not to the people. Don't take it lightly. But we also cannot be destroyed by our mistakes. And that can be hard. I've struggled with that in my life. Because you want to please and you want to do it right, and sometimes it's very easy when you screw up to beat yourself up terribly. We have to realize that we're positioned to have responsibility. But we also have to realize that in that responsibility, there is great grace. Strive to be the best. Strive for perfection. Second one. We also have to understand that submission to God is essential. Submission to God is essential because, again, getting back to the idea of teaching, one of the realities of teaching is, of any kind of leadership, is everybody has an opinion of what you should do. And I'm not down on those opinions. They're important. They help us. Because a whole lot of people offer opinions, and their aim, their desire is simply to help, and they can't help. But we have to understand that what we're after is submission to God. That is what is essential. Submission to God, not necessarily that other person. What I mean by that is this. People come and give us advice, and they're well-meaning, and can be very helpful. But we have to take what people say to us, even when it hurts, and take it back before God and say, God, help me to figure out what you want me to do with this. Because ultimately, my goal is to walk in obedience to you. To respect the fact that you put people in my life who love me, who care, and are trying to help. But my goal is to walk in obedience of what you told me to do, what you called me to do. Look at the end of verse 2. If anyone does not stumble at what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Look at this phrase. wherever the will of the palate directs. Our aim is to be God-controlled. Ships are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the palate directs. And ultimately, God is our palate. He is the one that directs. He is the one that guides. He's put people in our lives and we are to allow them to help us. But ultimately, He is the one that we are to submit to. The teacher's power, the Christian's power is Christ. And we have to submit to Him. That is what is essential. Because our goal is to take advice, to take information and all that, but to go wherever the will of the power directs. In doing that, the goal, we bridle our whole body. It is the tongue, but it isn't just the tongue. It's through the tongue, the whole body is bridled. He gives some examples in verse 3 and 4. The horses, you put bits in the mouth to guide them. In verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Ships are controlled by a small rudder. Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. The tongue must be controlled because of its power. It guides our whole body. Verse 5 continues, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. The whole body is to be tamed and controlled, and begins with the term tongue. It gives us this vivid picture of how dangerous the tongue can be. Set on fire for us. Can we experience it? Have you ever been the victim of rumors? And this thing gets started. May have been intentional, may not have been intentional. It takes a life of its own. And people are affected by it. Stray word. The aim is to be submitted to God. That is what is essential. If our tongues are controlled by anyone other than God, it causes a mess. When my tongue is controlled by me, it causes a mess. Because I don't know about you, this, but there may be exceptions. So see, in my opinion, God really needs to work on controlling our tongue, because we are naturally smart alecks. I mean, if I said every biting, cutting comment that crossed my mind, I'd stay in trouble. I remember years ago I was at this marriage conference and a good speaker was talking about marriage relationship. He was talking about advice to a husband. He was talking about the situation when you're talking to your wife and you don't really get it, and there's stuff that comes to your mind, and he says bite that tongue off. Make it bleed. Don't say it. That control. I think all kind of things. But I think a lot of things that don't need to be said. Mm-hmm. Now, my personality helps me a little bit, because I'm kind of reserved and not shoot off that, so it helps me a little bit. But the others were more personality, like, they say it before they it's even registered in their mind. Usually I'll think about it before I say it and have an opportunity to deduct and not say it. Well, some people, it's just out before they even think it's just out. And that really is a struggle, because, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Now, we all do that on occasion, but some people have more trouble with that than others. And a guy who has trouble that can really stay in hot water because we're smart, Alex. And the truth of the matter is, we can say some things that have come out of our mouth. It's almost like guys. I'm sure it's changing something. I mean, they go up in the locker room. One of the things that happened in the locker room is there are no sacred cows. There ain't no respect for feelings. I mean, locker room. if you want to be sensitive, you better toughen up because they don't care. And the reality is, that's not the way that we treat people. Not in general. I'm not saying there are times that we kid around and do that kind of stuff. But there are also times that we control. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Point is, submission to God is essential. We're positioned to have responsibility. Submission to God is essential. The last point, and probably the most important one, is understand that we can't do it. This isn't something that on our own we can do. And we have to understand that. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. We can't do it. Because see, left to me, my concern is me. What I want, what I want to say, what I want to do. The truth of the matter is, concern for others is something that God gives us. It is not natural. Man is naturally selfish. Man naturally wants his way. It is the God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that enables us to be concerned for others. And even with the tongue, we have to understand we can't do this. It's interesting. It says every beast of the and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and in fact has been tamed. But no human can tame the tongue. We've tamed tigers, elephants, all kind of wild beasts. But the tongue, we haven't contained. Man may be able to decide never to say a harsh word, but that's not what the scripture commands. Because see, the thing about taming the tongue and the reason we can't do it isn't simply a matter of keeping our mouth shut. Yeah, we can decide, I just ain't going to say nothing. But that's not walking in obedience to God. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we are supposed to say something. Mm-hmm. We're to speak what God says, and sometimes that cuts. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting. And it can cut. But we have to understand that the idea of taming is not to not do anything or to not say anything. Taming of the tongue is controlling the tongue to say what God wants you to say, when he wants you to say it, how he wants you to say it. That's the challenge. Because see, if it was a matter of just shut up, don't say nothing, I might be able to do that. But when you get into the whole matter of saying what is appropriate at that moment and in the right voice and everything else, I can't do that. And if I try, I'm going to screw it up. Because the whole idea of taming is not making someone or something so that it doesn't have it, so that it doesn't do anything. Think about taming animals. You tame a horse, a wild horse. I never tried this. In fact, it used to look interesting and enjoyable. But my bones don't heal as easy as they used to. I have no desire to do it anymore. But I think you used to watch these cowboys, people jump on this wild bronco and just ride into it to tame him down. Mm-hmm. But you think about it, the whole idea of taming that animal is not to make him so controlled so that he never runs. But what it is to make him so controlled that he runs when you want him to and stops when you want him to. It's the control. It is not the lack of activity. It is the control. The idea in training a horse is not that he never runs, but that he runs when I say, giddy up. But when it's like, whoa, he stops. It's the control. Same thing with the tongue. It's not that we don't say anything, but is what I'm saying under God's control or under my control? And when it's under my control, that's when I screw it up. Every wild beast has been tamed by man except man. Every kind of verse 7, every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed. Has been controlled to do what we want them to do, when we want them to do it, how we want them to do it. But the tongue is a restless evil, verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Always ready to attack. How many times we've all had it where we come and maybe there's a situation that's stuck on and we ain't that crazy about here, but we decide we ain't gonna say nothing. And then somebody say one more thing. And all of a sudden it's on. That's a challenge. That's also why we need grace. Because we all do it. Somebody poke me wrong? Well, we cannot do it. The problem is, what we do with our tongue, all of a sudden, we send conflicting messages. Verse 9. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Verse 10, from the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. We bless God and curse people. Now, I have never talked to a preacher who I knew well enough to be honest with, that he would be honest with me. Who has not acknowledged the reality of having to go to church one morning and preach this sermon of God. And on the way to church, having to fight with your wife. And you're sitting there thinking, I'm mad as fuck. And I got to get in front of these folks and preach. Ought not be so, but with us. Sometimes we listen. We don't want the message to be in conflict. It goes on in verse 11. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. We don't want the message to be in conflict with the self. The whole idea is springs will bring forth salt water or fresh water, but not both at the same time. A fig tree will produce figs, and that's great. But if you go to a fig tree and find some grapes, there's something going on. The challenge in controlling our tongue is we're seeking for consistency. The phrase I used in an earlier message, we're focused on trying to be who we are instead of who we used to be. To be who we are, Christians, God's ambassadors, instead of who we used to be, Satan's ambassadors. And understand that the only way we will ever accomplish that is to recognize that we can't do it. The tongue is so powerful that only God can tame it. But our role is to let it. Our role is to be willing to step back from what I want to say and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? To be willing to step back from my anger to say, Lord, how do you want me to say this? And to walk in obedience to him. With position comes responsibility. We cannot do it. With position comes responsibility, submission to God. Is essential. But ultimately, we cannot do it we have to step back and let the Holy Spirit in us do it. By focusing and submitting to God and allowing Him to be in control. So what? Words are the most powerful tools we have and the most difficult tools to control. Because words are reflections of us. And see, God has come into our lives and He has saved us. But we're still in the process of being perfected. Words are the most powerful tool we have, but they're also the most difficult tool to control. Ultimately, it is because we're still in the process of God perfecting us, of glorifying us for heaven. In a more practical sense, a part of the reason that it's so hard is because people are different and respond differently. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where everybody ain't like us. They don't think like us. They don't speak like us. They don't express themselves like us. And see, the reality is, I'm used to me. But it can be a problem when someone isn't me. And it is so easy to offend and to be offended simply because we're not the same. And we express it differently. And we don't intend to offend and we don't intend to be offended. But it's just so easy. Words are the most powerful tools we have, but they're also the most difficult tools to control. Ultimately, because we're still in the process of God being perfecting us, but in a very practical sense, a lot of the reasons because we are different. We're not the same. And it is easy in theory to accept and to celebrate the fact that I love to deal with different people. I love the diversity of God's mankind. I love it. Intellectually. Sometimes it can get on our last nerve personally, though. But it's important, and it's particularly important in the church because the church is designed by God to be the most diverse body in the world. All kinds of people. You look at the church in the Bible. Rich folks, poor folks, slaves, slave masters. People that apart from the power of God in them will be trying to kill each other, come together to praise God. That's what the church was intended to be. In that context, you think words are going to be hard to control? Different backgrounds. Words are the most powerful tool we have, but also the most difficult to control. We have to be willing to continually seek to be led by the Holy Spirit in all that we do, especially in the control of the tongue. We have to be willing to apologize to each other. We have to be willing to deal with it because it's got to happen. But we have to be willing to continue to seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the last one, which if I had to do it again, I might delete because it's not specific from the test. It's kind of the overriding thing, and that is simply this. We have to be willing to give each other the grace that God gives us. That's hard. Words can hurt. That's why our words, as everything else about us, need to be under submission to the power of God. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us once again to come. Look on your word, to seek your face, to hear what you want to say to us. Continually mold and shape us into all that you want us to be. Continually help us to always grow in being and becoming who we are and not settling for who we used to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.